I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Happy Cyber Monday. With all the storm and stress over the fiscal cliff, it's easy to overlook other important pieces of legislation facing deadlines. That includes the Farm Bill, a 700-page behemoth with 15 different spending categories, totaling $100 billion a year. Those categories include corn subsidies, which makes us New Yorkers think of Nebraska and Iowa, not Inwood or Newdorp. But the food bill also includes food stamps and disaster relief, important for local farmers on Long Island whose farmlands were swamped by salty water from Sandy, and subsidies that affect the price of milk, which will have an effect on our burgeoning upstate yogurt industry. Governor Cuomo recently held a yogurt summit to see how the state could foster more productivity and growth in that area. Joining me now is Philip Brasher, editor of the Agriculture and Food Briefing for the Congressional Quarterly Roll Call, to update us on what's going on with the Farm Bill. Welcome to WNYC, Philip.
Oh, thank you.
The Farm Bill was allowed to expire in September. I understand there's two competing versions in the House and Senate, as there normally are. The Senate version, modest cuts to food stamps, stricter income and ownership rules to keep the wealthiest farming operations from getting subsidies. The House, continuing subsidies for big commodity producers of corn and wheat and soybeans. Much more draconian in terms of its food stamp budget reduction. It quadrupled the Senate's suggested cuts. It also cut conservation programs. So we've got these two differing sides, and then the House let the Farm Bill expire rather than continue working on a compromise. Why did that happen?
Well, there was a basic problem to start out with. This bill was set to, this old bill, which was passed in 2008, which was set to expire in a presidential election year. And that's a short year anyway. You add to that to the fact that all of these conservative Republicans, Tea Party Republicans who were elected in 2010, and you had a tough climate to pass a farm bill, particularly in the House. And the House leader said they just didn't have the votes. Now, they didn't bring it to the bill. There was some skepticism about that. They really didn't want to put the House Republican leadership really didn't want to put a lot of their members in a position of having to vote on that bill either before the election. So that that meant that the bill was simply allowed to expire on September 30th, although a number of the programs continue in effect, particularly the subsidy programs for crops, continue in effect into next year.
The fallout of not getting a deal done by the end of the year seems to be poised to affect the dairy industry the most. When the 2008 farm legislation expired on September 30th, also expiring with it was the milk income loss contract program. Could you explain how that works?
Well, that program expired, which has been subsidizing or supporting the prices that farmers get for milk for the last 4 years. That program expired September 30th, or is expiring with the old bill. Now, the dairy industry, the industry broadly, but the National Milk Producers Federation, which represents milk producers, the farmers, very much wants a new program, which is be more likely to pay out to producers next year. It would provide some support guarantees for their revenue. For farm revenue, while the farms in turn would have to agree to manage their supplies, which is something that the dairy processors are not very happy with. But at any rate, this new legislation is included in both the House and the Senate Farm Bill. If you simply brought back the old Farm Bill, extended it into next year, which is very much a possibility, the old program would stay in effect, would come back into effect. The milk producers, milk farms are not very happy about that prospect because it's not potentially not going to be as lucrative as this new program, which they really want to see enacted.
Right. I'm reading from the Albany Times Union here about how this would affect dairy farmers in upstate New York. The House and Senate bills include a new safety net that compensates dairy farmers based on the margin between feed and milk prices. Farmers would pay an annual fee and have the option to pay extra for a higher level of coverage. And Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, reelected in early November, first senator from New York on the Senate Ag Committee in 40 years, is concerned that small New York dairy farmers would have to pay premiums for government support they'd previously gotten for free. What's an alternative version being floated, or is this basically settled at this point in the legislation that we have now between the Senate and the House versions?
Right. This is basically a settled issue. The dairy processors are still holding out hope that they might get this changed significantly on the House floor. I really don't. It's pretty much a settled issue. And one of the reasons is one of the biggest advocates of this new program is Congressman Colin Peterson from Minnesota. He is the senior Democrat on the House Agriculture Committee, and he will be nothing is going to get in the final bill that he really, really strongly objects to. And this is, I can't think of a higher priority for him than this new program.
Dairy farmers, if you're listening to us, streaming us at WNYC.org, or our Long Island listeners, our farmers out on Long Island, what are your thoughts on the farm bill? Have you been following the farm bill debate? Are you concerned about driving over the fiscal farm cliff if no resolution is reached before the end of the year and this huge bill gets caught up in the larger negotiations over the fiscal cliff and deficit reduction? Give us a call at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Your questions for Philip Brasher, editor of the CQ Roll Call Executive Briefing on Agriculture and Food. I understand, Philip, that at the end of the year, if Congress does nothing, U.S. dairy policy reverts to a 1949 law under which the government hoards milk at subsidy rates, meaning milk prices could double almost overnight. Could you explain that process and where the discussions are currently that you're hearing in the House and Senate of avoiding that scenario?
Well, that simply won't happen. There is a law that remains in effect. It goes back to 1949, and it's this very arcane system propping up prices for several commodities that were particularly important back in the 40s. Milk is one of them. Wheat is another. Corn, another number of other crops. And if this old law, 1949 law, were to take effect, then these big price increases would take effect, which would hit consumers. The only reason that law remains on the books is to make sure that Congress does something and passes a new farm bill. What will happen? Is that Congress will either pass a new bill, which is still a long shot here in this lame duck session, or they will pass some kind of extension of the expired 2008 farm bill. They could extend it into the spring of next year, or they could extend it an entire year. That's would still have to be determined. But the fact that this old law is on the books is intended to and will force Congress to do something.
I understand.
Does it affect dairy is that after these other crops are harvested next year, these 1949 provisions would begin to kick in for those crops too, starting with wheat and then on to corn and other crops.
Tell me about disaster assistance programs. It's very important for local farmers, the ones on Long Island affected by Hurricane Sandy, with salt water creating high saline conditions for their flooded cropland. And last year, Hurricane Irene really devastating Hudson, Irene and Lee devastating lower Hudson Valley farmland. I understand extending the 2008 Farm Bill would do nothing to renew four disaster assistance programs that expired in September 2011. They're included in both farm bills, but any extension would not include that. What kind of funding could be available then for some of these farmlands in New York, in New Jersey, affected by the recent storm?
Right. Well, that's another issue that Congress is going to have to deal with in the next few weeks because, as you point out, those programs were set to expire before the rest of the bill. That was a cost-saving measure that Congress did in 2008 to make that farm bill fit within their budget and spending limits. So one option one thing that the House did, the House passed a bill before it went on its August recess that would have funded these disaster programs through cuts in conservation spending. That, of course, is not popular with people who support various conservation programs. So that's a decision that Congress is going to have to come up, would have to come up with the money somewhere if they don't pass a new farm bill that includes those disaster programs in the next few weeks. They will either have to just let the disaster assistance go, these farmers go without the assistance, or they will have to come up with the money somewhere to bring these programs back and provide the aid that you're talking about.
We have about a minute left. Tom from Queens, you're on WNYC with Philip Brasher from CQ Roll Call. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. What's your question for Tom or your comment?
Not only a question, but a statement. There's a lot of farmers in New York State that are suffering because they can't charge enough for their milk. And I don't know why the government is forcing a price control over the price of milk. I understand it's kind of a necessity, but, you know, maybe if people would give up their 56-inch TV and their $100 sneakers and pay a little more for milk, we would have farmers that would be able to produce milk in New York State. And we would have a better economy for New York State, and the farmers would not be losing their farms upstate New York because it doesn't pay for them to produce milk at the price that the government wants them to sell it for.
Tom, thank you for your call. Philip, you want to, in a minute, address what Tom is talking about in terms of subsidies and their influence on the price of milk and where various versions of the farm bill could send the price of milk and payments to dairy farmers?
Right. Well, you know, this is an age-old problem with farm programs and a challenge that farmers have had. You don't hear quite so much because the prices of many of these commodities have food commodities have gone up dramatically in the last few years. But of course, what happens when you do raise prices that farmers get is often production goes up to a point where prices start to fall again.
And Philip, I'm sorry, we need to leave it there. It continues online at WNYC.org. Philip Brasher, editor of the CQ Roll Call Executive Briefing on Ag and Food on the Farm Bill.